Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Yeah. FST Fantasy Sports Today right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy to be holding it down. The homie All In Kid, Jake Seeley, Wall Street, Matt Medica, Corey Paulson, the Fantasy Executive. Good time the next hour leading you up to the BFFs. They'll talk some fantasy baseball with you. Unfortunately, you might not get that here.
Don't expect that.
It may not happen. But I will open it up, right? Because I don't know which direction I want to go in today. I know when I was downstairs, my mind just be jumping all over the place so quick. I know when Frank asked me earlier when he was setting up the YouTube feed, I said we'll talk about rookies, this draft class in fantasy football, get some projections on how we feel about some of these players. That's what I told Frank. But then in the short time since I last seen Frank, I was like, there's a number of different ways we can go today, right? Because we're not beholden to any format here.
I expect nothing but audibles every time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 52 is the mic.
Omaha.
We're changing the play. Anyway, so this is what I was thinking. We can go general sports talk, right? We can do the rookies, right, for fantasy, or we can Well, it's probably just those two. You know what I'm saying? Matt Medica, you want to talk strictly fantasy football and this rookie class coming in, or would you like to do some general sports talk stuff?
However, this show, let's see how it flows.
Okay.
And we can just go with that. I will say one thing. I never really eat before a show.
You did today?
And I did today.
Wonder what that means.
And I don't think I'll ever do it again. It's like you start feeling like that food coma coming on.
Yeah, you want to take a little rest, huh?
Yeah.
And it's a cloudy day. Nice. And it's a cloudy, rain. Overcast day in New York City. Time to welcome in my guy, the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley. Jake, what's going on with you, my man?
Time? Like 3 minutes later?
That's cool. you know who was notorious for complaining about when you bring them on air?
The King?
Dr. Roto.
Dr. Roto.
As soon as Dr. Roto mic come on, Dr. Roto was like, I haven't been speaking. Well, I have to wait here for 5 minutes. I'm like, Doc, relax. We're going to get to you, Doc.
Corey.
Yo.
Don't ever compare me to Dr. Roto.
You got your card out, Jake?
I just want to know if the Belichick hype is real for Chick-fil-A, because I went over there today, and there was waiting for tables at Chick-fil-A. Wow. Like, there were people standing there waiting. There was a wait at Chick-fil-A.
So this is, but 757 have Chick-fil-A's in the area, right? That's not the first
one. Yeah. I mean, you can go 3 miles and find another one, 4 miles and find another one. There's plenty of them around here. They're always slammed at lunch and dinner, but not to that level. I don't know. I just want to know if it's the Belichick actually seen at the drive-thru, the Chick-fil-A has got everybody hyped up about it.
Maybe that's what it is.
I believe that awful corporation is going to be paying people like $18 an hour.
Why you call them awful?
I'm making a joke.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say.
It's the most delicious chicken ever.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say some political thing.
Popeye's
here
is pretty damn good, too. I mean,
you know what I heard about Popeye's?
My problem with Popeye's is, Matt, is like, I think I've told you this before. I like it, but no matter what they say their flavor of the month is, they all taste the same. Like, I don't ever taste the difference between their barbecue and their Louisiana and their Texas Southern. Like, they all just taste the same damn chicken, but it's all good.
Yeah, I just get the regular chicken, and then I make it spicy myself.
All right, peep this. I'm going to put y'all on. I don't know if any of y'all ever tried this before, but I've heard this several times, and I've actually had some delivered to me. It's regular Popeyes. We got a legendary one in Harlem on 145th and 145th and 8th Avenue. Ratty. Don't worry about that one. It's ratty. And there's a couple other ones uptown too. Nice spots. There's one on 135th that the roof exploded on the joint. They rebuilt it. It just opened. The line is always
outdoor patio.
No. Yeah. Look at
the bounty hunter coming in with that.
Nah, Bavona's girlfriend used to live over that joint. So that joint, now they rebuilt it. The line is out the door. I give you a secret on Popeyes. And the people, if you know what I'm about to say in the chat room, if you want real Popeyes chicken, go to the joint in New Orleans. The ones in New Orleans, they're like, yo, those is like the Popeyes is like fine dining in New Orleans. It's the
See,
real deal down there.
If I'm going to New Orleans, not New Orleans like you're saying. If I go to New Orleans, I know. Well, that's the same thing like Louisville, Kentucky. It's really just one syllable. It's just Louisville.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's just, so. But in any case, if I'm going down to New Orleans, probably the last place I'm going is Popeyes for fast food. Like, I'm going to try the real chicken places and some crawfish and that. Like, I'm not going to hit up a Popeyes. That's like coming to New York and go to Sbarro's.
Oh, well, no, come on. Sbarro's really isn't that good.
No, Sbarro's,
it's really not like, but that's not Italian pizza.
I would think, before I heard this, I would agree with Jake. Like, why would you go to New Orleans?
I agree with Jake. What he said is 100% right. But Popeyes, I would definitely want to go to the Popeyes in New Orleans, however we want to say it. I definitely want, like, shrimp gumbo, shrimp Creole.
That black lady from the commercial working one of the Popeyes out there. She right there behind the counter. I'm saying.
I'd like to go with Beyonce, too, because she's got that card, right?
Oh. I forgot. As another sidebar, since we haven't started anything really. Matt, did you happen to see what arrived yesterday at the worst timing ever?
No.
Noah Syndergaard?
Oh, yeah.
I had pre-ordered it. I had pre-ordered Noah Syndergaard like Jake, 2 months ago.
Jake is the mush on Syndergaard.
That's what it is, huh?
he got Syndergaard and he wanted the DL.
It was a fire at City Field yesterday.
I heard something about that.
That's how bad things are for the
Mets. The X-ray machine blew up.
They was using it so much, the MRI machine set on fire.
You see, that's a good one. Running out of the building.
I saw another one that just said it was too much kindling from all the leftover unsold tickets.
Yeah, I can see that. It's the Yankees will be in town next week.
All I gotta say is this: if we're gonna talk, this will be my one baseball input.
Right.
Input
for sure. I'm down for it.
If the Mets trade Jacob deGrom to the Yankees, I will lose it. I might leave the franchise for that.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask you about this, Matt, because I had this discussion with Florio a few weeks ago. I'm actually for it, considering their prospects, because you're not going to get the level of prospects you get from the Yankees from anybody else right now, just because they still, unless it's the Braves, but you're not trading to the Braves either. So my point being is, are you of the mindset, it's basically like the Orioles mindset of Machado. Would you take a subpar return on DeGrom just to not have him on the Yankees? Because I'm of the mindset, if you get two Class A prospects and a Class B, I'm doing it. I don't even care if it's the Yankees.
One thing here is I would trade who's ever going to give me the best haul. I don't care if it's in my division.
Yeah.
I think that's being stupid. If the person in my division can offer me the best talent, I got to go there. Even though I'm going to face this guy and stuff, as opposed to, like Jake says, and take a subpar package. The other thing I will say is DeGrom is, what, 30 years old, or he's turning 30?
People forget that.
But he's a young 30. He didn't stop, 26 years old. He had the Tommy John and stuff. He's got like 735 innings on his arm, or 750 maybe by now, on his arm. So he's a young 30 years old. Like, Felix Hernandez was an old 30-year-old because he started at 19. So I'm not ready to just sign. I think this guy could be good for quite some time. And at some point, you got to give money to somebody if you're the Mets and stop with these discounts. When you buy cheap products, they don't last or they're not really good. And that's what we saw this offseason with the Mets.
So, Jake, what do you want to do today? What do you want to talk about?
Me? Yeah. I think this is good. We could do everything. We have to be. Since when are the three of us, when are we ever get set on, like, this is what we have to do?
How about not beholding over to under on LeBron wins this series? I know you're saying they're winning it. He's winning.
I got four.
You got
2.5.
Jake said 2.5. You said 2.5.
Because I said it goes 7, so that would be 2.5. I have Golden State winning in 7.
See, this.
I would say 2. I think if he gets 2, I do want to bet some money on the Cavs. Like
MyBookie.ag.
Yeah, I mean, MyBookie.ag, $100 on that. Even if
pay
I lose
$1,800
it,
if they go up. If the Cavs win a $700 bet,
like,
get you
to me, that's like worth it. Let's see, you put up $100 to win $1,800.
Yeah. All right, so check this. See, Jake, I think it's going to be a 7-game series. But anytime you predict a series to be a 7-game series, you have to predict that the Cavaliers are going to win because they got missed the game 7 LeBron James. So I think the Cavs win in seven. Yeah.
But I'm not taking him on the road in game 7 in Golden State.
He's done it already.
I would go with LeBron pretty much against any other team. But when he got Curry, Durant, it's not like they only got one guy.
Yeah.
They got two, uber elite guys in the league. And then that supporting
cast. And then they got Clay who I would listen, I think what we after what we saw last round, I wouldn't like I understand James Harden is the about to be the MVP and he's the, you know, legit scoring guard, the number two guard, shooting guard. I think Klay Thompson is the best shooting guard in the NBA, even over James Harden.
I can't confirm or deny that.
Jake?
He's gonna get overpaid in free agency.
Who, Klay?
Yeah.
Yo, he's got ice water in his veins, though.
I just want to see...
He's got ice water, but I don't... He's not somebody that produces on his own.
I just want to see... Like,
go ahead, Matt.
Draymond stare down Kevin Love. Just like scare him. like, to me, like, those are little intricacies that you'll look at. Just like that mind game, like the Jedi mind.
Draymond is good at that.
Scare him into.
But
like,
you can't.
Commission.
The thing about it is, you can't. Those dudes, Tristan Thompson and those cats on the Cavs, you're not gonna scare them because they've been there before.
Tristan Thompson's definitely. Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. There's no way on earth I'm betting anything in this series. I mean, this series could go 4 and be done. This series could go 7. This series could go lopsided victories. I mean, we already joked about it the other day, Corey, about that. I'm not touching the 12 line. I don't know which way to bet that. It could
That's
be
crazy.
20, or it could be the Cavaliers win outright. I'm not touching this series unless somebody gets hurt.
Jake, you know it's up to 13 now, right?
Is it really?
It's up to 13. It went up to 13 today.
So it's 2-3-2,
still coming
right?
in on the Warriors.
Yeah, the money is still coming in. You're right. The money is still coming in on the Warriors. No, they changed it this year. This year is 2-2-1-1-1, which I think is the fairest way to do it.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree. When I hear all that.
Don't worry, Matt. It starts today. It doesn't finish for 2.5 weeks.
Well, that's the NBA.
Yo, you know when Game 7 of this series would be? On Father's Day.
Father's Day. 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah.
I got to give the NBA credit. Their playoff season is almost as long as the regular season.
Yo, Matt, the playoffs started Easter Sunday. And it goes all the way to Father's Day.
This isn't a joke, Matt. You want to talk about seriousness? I've said this before. Corey knows this. The NBA playoffs is almost as long as the NFL regular season.
That's wild.
Look, I get
it's
it.
It's like 2/3, almost 3/4 of the NFL regular season.
They do a fantastic job with it, I have to say.
One of the things I don't like about it, though, is tonight is game one. Game two is on Sunday. I don't like
it. Yeah, that's... Well, No, it's Thursday. I had to ask my wife today. Is it Wednesday or Thursday?
Living a good life, man. You're living a good life.
Or only one game where there's a one-game layoff between it. I think every single game has a two-day layoff.
No. Tonight, no, if I'm not mistaken, tonight is game one. Sunday is game two. But I think game three would be on Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Like a Tuesday, Thursday, yeah. Tuesday, Thursday, they probably do. For basketball,
my thing is, if you understand the Sunday, you want the primetime thing on Sunday. But if not, then just put the game on Friday. Put game one on Friday night.
The most egregious thing I've ever seen in
game three is on Wednesday.
Like finals or, you know, hockey, baseball.
That's Friday. It's game three and
I think it was the 87 World Series with the Cardinals and the Twins. And there were like so many off days where they only had to pitch like two pitchers in that series. And that's how they were able to win.
That's wild.
Because there was so many.
In baseball, you got to take it into consideration, the pitches.
You lose some of the excitement and momentum of that.
I agree, Jake.
That's the thing. Because your point is like, you know, we play today, we don't play till Sunday. Then we don't play again till Wednesday. And then it's Friday. That's the one where there's only one day in between. And then it's Friday. You don't even get a weekend game that week. It's Wednesday, it's Friday to Monday.
Oh,
and then it's Thursday, Sunday again.
See, I mean, that's probably because of the network, because it goes from ESPN to ABC. So now you got network programming that's going to be affected by it. I mean, nothing's going to get a bigger number tonight than game one of the NBA Finals. But when you put it on ABC.
And they want to finish on a Sunday if they have a game seven. So it's just a lot of, like I said, I'm with you, Corey. You lose momentum. You lose the excitement momentum.
Yeah. I'm surprised TNT just hasn't bought all the rights for it. Just play it on there. It's the best.
If they can't do it, okay, if here's the thing. I wish they could figure out a way.
If SmackDown just sold for $1 billion over 5 years, what would the NBA sell? What would the NBA probably be? Yeah,
you're right. That's crazy. See, this is what this is my thing with the TNT thing, right? Listen, shout out to Michelle, shout out to Michelle Beadle, shout out to Chauncey Billups, shout out to Paul Pierce. They do a fabulous job. With the pregame and the halftime and the postgame, but if you're going to put this thing on ABC, you got to put the TNT crew. You got to figure out a way to get the TNT crew.
I don't really watch basketball that much.
Yeah,
But that is just so entertaining.
Yeah, the TNT crew.
You put
crew.
Those guys together. I mean, Shaq and Barkley together. They should be new art couple shows. That would be a good. I don't even watch like regular TV.
Yeah.
I would tune in for that.
Google me, Chuck. Google me.
I never wanted to like punch Shaq in the face more. Not that I could reach him, and then two, I would have to do it and run for my life as soon as I did. But the fact is, when they were having that debate about the DeMar DeRozan thing. Oh my gosh, Shaq was so aggravated because you guys will both best, you'll know exactly why, but he was doing that thing where he won't let you talk. And that was just ticking me off because Barkley was trying to make a point. He's like, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You're not been to the finals. You haven't been to the finals. You haven't won anything. Tell me what you want. And just wouldn't let Barkley finish his sentence. And I was just, I wanted to punch him in the face so much.
That was a great exchange.
Look, Shaq, I love Shaq. I'm a huge Shaq fan. Always have been. I mean, I had his Orlando Magic jersey back in the day.
Yeah.
But that time when he was talking about gas and filling up the car.
That was crazy.
That was one of the most wild things I've ever heard.
He said, no, Kenny. You have to understand, Kenny. See, Kenny, you're not going to have to fill up every other day, Kenny. See? And I'm like, what are they talking about?
That man just wasn't.
also very good, though. With Jake, you know what Charles Barkley should have said to Shaq that day? Charles Barkley should have said, if I was 7'2", right? I would have won 5 championships.
I would have
told. That's what Charles Barkley should have said.
I would have said the same thing I told the cop that time.
Good one.
You know what? You say that, Corey. If Barkley was 7'2", I think he would have been a better career than Shaq.
I agree with you 100%. If Barkley was 7'2", he would have been a better basketball player than Shaquille O'Neal, who I love too, Shaquille O'Neal. Come back on the other side. We'll be keeping it rolling. Whatever you want to get into today, telephone lines open, 844-843-6879. It is FST right here on FNTSY Radio.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards Program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Hey, good job. Got my man Chris Bavarna and the whole crew downstairs on the fourth floor getting it done. FSTOT telephone number 844-843-6879 to get involved. Matt Medica, I'll ask you this question. If LeBron James can pull this off, is he the GOAT of GOATs? Is he the GOAT? Is he the greatest of all time?
He's got... Like I said, I honestly can't make this honest opinion because I haven't watched basketball as much as I did prior
when
to my
Michael
lifetime.
Jordan was playing.
Yeah, like I watched it. I used to be a really big fan, but the last few years, my attention span to it hasn't been there.
I feel you.
But if he can beat Golden State twice,
yeah,
I mean he did it once, and like I said, that play with whatever it was under 2 minutes,
the block on Andre Iguodala,
that was the series. I mean, if you want to look at a play that won them this year, if he can do it twice. For me, I'll say this. Him and Jordan, two best ever. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine. I don't see why you say LeBron's better than Jordan or, you know, Jordan's better than LeBron. Why can't they just both be great? To me, it's like Gretzky, Lemieux in hockey.
All right. All in, kid, Jake Sealy. He pulls this off. Is he the GOAT of the GOATs?
I told you that I'm in the position where I'm a Jordan fan. I'm a Bulls fan growing up since I was 8 years old. 80s. I won't give you the exact year. I don't want to date myself. So
I agree.
You got close. I got close. you can figure out the math somewhere in there. Everybody knows in the mid-30s anyway. So in any case, point being, I already said this yesterday, that it's now a 50-50 debate for me, that I'm not going to sit there like 2 years ago. I'd argue for Jordan. I'd keep arguing with you and make the argument and continue to keep going with you until we were just done and it was I guess we're going to disagree, or I would try to get you to change your opinion. Now, if you want to argue me about LeBron James, I'm going to say, you know what? You have a valid argument. If he wins this series, if they win the championship, I could honestly start arguing for LeBron James.
Here's one thing. I mean, Jordan, retired for, 2-3 years?
How long did he take? I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about that the
other day. Those are some good years. He was hitting, trying to hit baseballs for some reason.
think he wanted to read A Father's Dream. Yeah. I think it's a Michael Jordan book getting ready to come out that's going to be like a lot of real bombshell stuff in it.
Right.
The Netflix thing.
The truth is, and this is the rumor, that's why I'm saying it tongue in cheek, but the rumor is he left to go play baseball to avoid getting suspended in basketball. So the whole issue with all that gambling and stuff went away.
Yeah, Michael Jordan had a massive gambling problem.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you can, but see, he's somebody that can have that kind of a problem. And it's not really going to affect his everyday life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, no, it was just, he was gone. He was gone for at least two, was it not three?
I think it was two years. He left for 2 years.
And they came back part into the third.
I mean, in all honesty, if I
dropped
was.
Dropped to 55 at the Garden.
If I was running the NBA with all the gambling issues, I was not suspended him for a long time.
David Stern was not going to be like, hey, Michael Jordan, you need to stop.
I would have been like, pay a fine, do some charity or something.
Put it like this. Before that legendary series with the Knicks and the Bulls, they had a couple legendary series, but the one where the Knicks had the home court advantage, I forget exactly what year it was. They went down, I think it was before game two, they went down to Atlantic City and was hammered in Atlantic City to like 6-7 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine somebody doing that in today's era with social media? Because first of all, somebody's going to see them out there and take a picture, right? And by the time they get back up to vote, it's a big story.
Yeah, well, just look at the players back in the day, like Joe Namath partying, baseball players, you know, staying up all night. You know, they had greenies, you know, in their coffee, whatever, and stuff like that, but. You know, it's just a different time. Everything's looked at so differently.
Yeah.
Everybody's so on edge.
What do you think, Jake? And if Michael Jordan and his gambling exploits in this era went over well, huh?
No, that wouldn't have been. No. We'd have a hell of a lot more going on. And he would have just been able to go away and skirt the issue. Even if that wasn't why he went and played baseball. And it just would. It never would have went away. It would definitely have been a bigger deal. And he probably would have been missing some time. And then we could go back to the other argument, too. If he never did go play baseball, they probably went 8 in a row. And we're never having a conversation with anybody else for the rest of our lives.
Well, I mean, if we could, like, go back in time and put like Twitter in 1 year and have like a documentary following a team. The 86 Mets.
Oh my God.
Picture Young Gooden.
It hasn't been a good movie on the 86 Mets yet.
No, but that Darryl and Doc was pretty good though. I mean, I felt really bad for Doc.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah, Darryl Strawberry ended up getting his life together, it seems.
Yeah,
like,
it seems like he's on the path of the righteous man.
Yeah, I saw that. Unfortunately, Doc Gooden.
Like, Doc's like one of my all-time favorites. He's like what got me really like geared up, like why I love pitching so much and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, those games where when he first came up that first year or two, it was like, that's when they started putting K's up on the thing. And, you know, it was like must-see TV. Like, I had to be in front of a TV. I think we played on like Channel 9 back in that day.
WPIX.
No, that was...
that was the Yankees 11. That was 11.
Bix.
Yankee 11. My man, the Scooter, Phil Rizzuto. So,
Money Store.
Oh yeah, he remember that.
I remember that.
That was a good. Shout out to Phil Rizzuto. You remember that, Jake? Those was the good old days. So, this thing with it was a story came out yesterday, was kind of making the rounds about this Cavalier thing. And we had discussed this before. When LeBron James found out that Kyrie Irving wanted to be traded, he told the organization, like, no, do not trade him. He did not want Kyrie Irving to get moved.
Sounds like a smart man.
Yeah, exactly, because if Kyrie Irving, they wouldn't be a 13-point underdog tonight if Kyrie Irving. It might have been a pick'em if Kyrie Irving was there. Now, with that being said, Jake, let me ask you this. He says he never reached out to Kyrie, but he did tell the organization, try your best to keep him. If you're Braun in that situation, do you say, you know what, I need this guy, let me reach out to him? Or do you give Kyrie what he really wants, a commitment that you are going to be in Cleveland?
You know what, I think the fact is you would want to say, yeah, LeBron would say something. But I got to think that maybe there was something there where he was ready. Like, there's more here because LeBron's done this already. He's forced issues with the roster already. So I get what you're saying to a degree, but at the same time, it's because I've seen him force roster issues before. Makes me think if you really didn't want this to happen, really wanted Kyrie there, that this wouldn't have happened. So I say yes, but I also say I think LeBron actually kind of not gave his blessing, but you understand what I'm saying.
See, I think we've mentioned this in the past. You were the one who brought it up. Shout out to Kerry. He was smart. It was, like, LeBron, all LeBron had to do was, I think,
say,
was
I'm going to
sit
stay.
Down with him, yeah. Go visit him, say, look, we're going to be great for the next 3 years, four years, 5 years. I'm not going anywhere, and I need you to be with me on this ride. LeBron didn't want to make that commitment. That's the whole thing. And Kyrie got out in front of it, rightly so, smartly so.
Yeah.
And shout out to him.
Nah, shout out to Kyrie. I mean, he pulled a LeBron move. He was like, get me out of here before you leave me here with Tristan Thompson making $200 billion and J.R. Smith shooting half-court jumpers. You know what I'm saying? Running around here with Kardashians. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Shout out to the Kardashian. Well, is it a Jenner or whatever? But Ben Simmons is dating the younger sister.
Yo, the younger sister.
Kylie?
Yes, Ben Simmons.
The
one
that had a baby?
Yes.
No, is it Kylie?
Is Kylie or Kendall? I get them mixed up.
Whichever one it is.
Kendall's the older one. Kylie's the younger one that had a baby already.
Kendall, then.
So peep this. So
Kendall's the better looking one.
Yes.
Kendall has been linked in the last 2 years to 5 NBA players.
They like the NBA. Come on.
And the NBA like them back. Yo, Jake, that's crazy. How old is Shorty?
Oh, she's got to be in her 20s now.
Kendall?
Yeah. Legal.
No, I'm saying it's legal, but still.
Kendall Jenner's older than that now. Yeah, she's 22.
22? And you linked to 5 different NBA players in the last
around
2 years?
Girl. I'm joking. Look, she's able to do
it. I feel what you're saying.
She's not my daughter.
You're right.
Keeping the public. Hey, real quick. I got a conspiracy theory for you, though.
Back
to the LeBron James. You talk about the Kyrie thing. If that he really was also, let me spin it the other way, a driving force to get rid of Kyrie, to reorganize this team. Now, if he doesn't win the finals and he dips, you can say, you know what? It's not really my fault because look what was around me. Like, he kind of set up his own scapegoat.
It's like LeBron does that a lot. If you feel like LeBron always leaves himself out.
Let me ask this question. Is it like almost a certain that he's going to the Lakers?
I don't think so. I think he's going to stay in Cleveland.
I hope he stays in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Look, it's his hometown. The city loves him. Like, what do you need to go to the Lakers for? You know, that's not your tradition. It's never been your tradition. Stay here and keep winning.
My thing is continue to dominate the Eastern Conference. Yeah, if you want to go someplace else, don't go to the Lakers. Don't go to Houston.
Like, I had an argument in the control room yesterday.
Knicks.
Not an argument. We were talking. And I'm like, well, that's really the true one. But, I mean, it's like as good as the Raptors were this year, there was no way the Raptors were beating LeBron. Jeez. They weren't beating LeBron. And
you expected them to put up more of a fight than that.
Yes, though. I totally agree with that. And even with the Celtics had a chance in Game 7, but if I had to bet like a lot of money or bet my life on it,
you'd
LeBron
I would James.
Take LeBron James.
Yeah, it's like Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
I mean, I would have got killed this year if I bet took Tom Brady.
Yeah, you would have lost your shirt.
But most of the time you win.
It's amazing. I don't know. I just feel as if Braun is in a situation where He's pushing the right buttons. He's making the right moves.
But that's the truth, what you said. If he really wanted
to
make, like, the greatest proclamation ever, go to the Knicks, make the Knicks a winner, make the Knicks good again, it would be like, you know, Madison Square Garden, considered the Mecca and all that.
The thing about it is James Dolan's going to have to sell the team. LeBron James is not going to play for James Dolan.
You know what? It's
not. If he really wants to do anything, there's two. It's either the Nets or the Kings. If you really want to dig somebody out and have like that whole chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about from that like franchise. Like,
no,
you know,
I feel you.
But you know what? Honestly, look.
It's like a Canadian guy going to Montreal and winning the cup when they were down.
The Sixers are obvious because of the depth of talent there, and then you know he won't have to play 40 minutes a night and do everything he's doing right now. If he goes out west, you know, the Houston Rockets, I understand too. You know a team that like makes a lot of sense, Corey, that nobody's talking about?
Spurs?
No.
What's that?
The Pelicans.
Oh, the Pelicans?
You put them alongside Cousins and Anthony. Now, I don't know if the money would work for them. I'm just saying, if we're just throwing out random situations, you take the Pelicans and what they have already and you add him to that?
No, that would be because you got Boogie, you got Anthony Davis. You would have to get rid of Rajon Rondo because LeBron James is not going to share a locker room with Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo is like a What's the story with the what was the classic Rondo story? They was watching some film in the and the team was in the locker room watching some film, and somebody came in and changed the channel, and Rondo was like to change the channel back, and it was like, nah, we're not changing the channel back. Rondo picks up the remote, throws it through the TV. Like, that's the type of dude Rondo is in the locker room. So LeBron just is not going to go to the situation. They have to get rid of Rondo.
He was trying to throw the ball. It's like this.
Yeah.
He dribbles around for 20 seconds, and then he makes the assist because he wants to get 15 assists a night.
He does, too.
If I was his teammate and he pulled something like that, mm-hmm. I'd, like, stuff him in the locker.
Yeah.
You know, duct tape him to a goalpost or something like in football.
He's hated. They was hated in the city of Boston, out when he wasn't on the court, and also was not the coolest guy to deal with. And every stop he's been with, they say that the dude is more or less
my problem with
a cancer in the locker room. But when he gets to the postseason, he's a warrior. What's up, Jake?
I'm a Bulls fan, so you know what I'm going back to, right?
Whoa, what was his? Oh, when he came, when he crashed that?
He threw Heinrich into the scorer's table.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Nobody wants to talk. Everybody forgets about that. Threw the dude into the scorer's table because he was pissed off.
Rajon Rondo is a wild dude. He got stuff. He's got, you know, and then especially up in that Boston area, he got in plenty of fights up in that Boston area, just going out and hanging out. He was not well liked or well received in the town. I think the interesting story the past couple of days in sports has been this thing with the 76ers and the burner accounts. This is a wild story.
It is pretty wild.
So they're going back, like, trying to trace it. One of the burner, so they said that Colangelo was running. He had the one burner account, right? So he admitted to that one. But when he admitted to that one, the other four that they were tracking were public accounts. They went private just like that. And that's when they were like, okay, we know we got something now. So, but one of the accounts was tweeting while he was doing a press conference. So, and not just scheduled tweets, replies and all. So it could have been like a wife or a son or something like that.
No, so that's the thing now is that they're saying that his wife's number also ends in 9-1.
Yeah.
So that the three extra ones could be his wife. So still what it is, but it's definitely not as fun and interesting as they originally thought.
Now, it would have been love if it was his. But his wife is his voice too, right?
If you're the owner of the 76ers, how is he not fired?
See, I don't, because he's good, number one. He's a
but
genius.
If you play, all the players said they don't trust him. Though.
And that's the thing. And it's going to be player, hard to trust them. It's going to be hard to trust them.
If the players
him.
Aren't going to want to be motivated or have a vendetta against the front office and stuff like that.
But then another team is going to come scoop them up just like that, and you got one of the good minds in basketball in your front office now.
Yeah,
it's a tough spot.
You lose
but especially when you're trying to go, when you're trying to get LeBron this summer, you don't. Like that, if they have a real legitimate shot at LeBron, they got to get rid of him.
LeBron's like, I gotta get my
own
burner account.
Let me just play a little bit devil's advocate here. just a little devil's advocate. You're like, we're all friends. Let's just say I'm not doing this show. Like, let's say I've never done fantasy sports, but we're boys. And yeah. I see Corey tweet about stuff, or like somebody's giving, and I just back you up on Twitter. But yeah. I back you up a lot, and I always make up like, because I'm your friend. Is it really that much different? That's what I'm saying with his wife. And just saying like, yeah, it's his wife and he probably knew about it. But I mean, at some point, if I'm your friend and I was always coming to your defense, Corey, you'd probably be, I mean, we're friends. So you would know I'm doing it all the time, especially if I was adding you. So I'm just saying like, just devil's advocate. Is it like really
it was inside information. Like the burner accounts was telling people in the media, ask him about this. And see what he says. Yeah, it was like inside.
That's bad.
I haven't followed it that closely.
Yeah, I haven't followed it as closely as you have neither. But like to what Jake was saying,
yeah.
It's kind of like Kim and Kanye on Twitter. Like, trying to do his defense.
And then you had the story with Roger Goodell. Remember during the football season where when it was coming to back and forth with the union and stuff, Roger Goodell's wife, was that Roger Goodell? Had a burner account. Well, had an account
something
and was
like
tweeting
that,
and was tweeting at at Pro Football, talking to the union and stuff
yeah,
like
but
that.
Yeah, but nothing. When you want your wife or your girl,
I get it. I get
backing
it.
You that I don't have a problem with.
The burner accounts don't bother
like,
me.
Trying to like take shots at players or say ask him this and give out inside information that can't be done.
No,
if I'm running the organization of Philadelphia 76ers and this is all confirmed, it comes out, everything is total. This whole report is up on the up and up. Colangelo, you're gone.
So,
you can't be in my organization.
I'm going to go see if All In, Not a Kid Anymore is available.
So I believe it was Pro Football Talk. Somebody in NFL was asked, put the over-under on the number of burner accounts that come from NFL front offices. Florio put it at 31.5.
Yeah, look, I can see
it's
that.
Happening.
But look, you have, if you, especially when you have interns and assistants at your disposal and stuff like that. I mean, I get it. But when you're giving out, like, saying, ask this guy this specific question, or trying to deface or in any way harm your organization or that player, because you don't want him in town no more.
Yeah.
That's just, that can't fly.
It's a company that you work for, so that's interesting stuff right there. You want to get involved, 844-843-6879.
I mean, picture Florio taking shots at you.
On a burner account, you know what I'm saying?
Billy Hayes, we expect.
Oh, yeah, no, you're Billy Hayes, though. That's on a burner account. Matter of fact, you know what? Maybe Florio is Billy Hayes' account. That's what it is. Fantasy football, FST right here on FNTSY Radio.
Why pay high rake when you can play daily fantasy baseball and pay half the rake on Fantasy Draft? Featuring half the rake GPP and head-to-head contests, exclusive VIP experiences, and the most flexible lineup structures in the game, Fantasy Draft is the only DFS site that puts players first. They're also the only site to offer 6 of 7 PGA scoring, dropping your lowest golfer score. Register today with the code FNTSY for a free $4 entry into a guaranteed winner contest in the sport of your choice. Fantasy Draft, daily fantasy on a level playing field.
So, gotta get into some, because they got the YouTube. I mean, I think we get in trouble if we don't talk about, like, what the title is. It's T.I. Thursday. I just thought about that. Look at this. Look at God. Oh, boy. Shout out to Tip. He was on Instagram wilding one day last week. So, I hope he got everything together. All right, so there we go. Let's talk about some of these rookies. Jake, how much shares-wise percentage of teams, how much exposure would you have to Calvin Ridley, and what's your expectations?
Not a whole lot, honestly. I thought that his price would probably be reasonable, because I think most people would accept the fact that this wide receiver class wasn't very good to begin with. I mean, honestly, it's one of the weakest wide receiver classes we've seen in the past decade. And the fact is, Calvin Ridley being at the top of it in arguments with DJ Moore and the rest of them, it just shows to you that how weak it was. It doesn't deserve to be. Like last year, DJ Moore, Ridley, and all the rest of them, I mean, we were talking about these are tier two guys behind the bigger names. So I think if you look at that, plus with behind Julio Jones, behind a team that passes a lot to Freeman and Coleman out of the backfield, and Matt Ryan, all that type of stuff coming off last year, is a disappointment for what people thought, even if you thought he was going to regress. Nobody was expecting that kind of regression. So all these put in, I was going to say, you know what, Calvin Ridley, I'll take a flyer in round 10 or 11.
Yeah.
But he's going before that. And my problem is, yes, he should, on talent and where he plays, push Sanu to the slot. And Sanu could actually do very well at the
slot. Sanu a ball in the slot. Yeah.
Exactly. But see, that's the offset, too, is like Sanu being better in the slot. Well, how much does that leave for Ridley? And the fact is that, you know this, I'll give a little sneak preview of the package over here. Calvin Ridley's projections that I have is for 54 receptions, 674 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's good.
That's good.
But that's a high-end wide receiver 5, low-end wide receiver 4.
Pop in through the bye weeks, you get one of them weeks where he get a touchdown, and you feel pretty good about it. He's a classic slot flanker, so you could play him in a number of different positions, but he's not an X wide receiver, so that could diminish his fantasy value.
And he's a rookie,
A rookie.
That'd be a hell of a wide receiver. More of a tight end, probably.
Any love, Madika, take a shot on him?
It's got to be late. You know, I want the Falcons to do well. I like watching the team.
Yeah.
You know, Julio, I'm always going to root for, and you get him going.
They got good players on offense.
No, they do.
They got nice uniforms, too.
But like you said, like you just mentioned, I think Chanel maybe gets the biggest bump here. And hopefully Julio gets the positive touchdown regression, gets another 1,400, maybe 1,500 yards receiving. So now, he recently stated he's going to be a Falcon for life now, right?
Who said that, Julio?
Julio. Remember, Julio, he took all the stuff down?
Yeah, well, he asked for an extension. He got 3 years left on his deal. I think Julio's making 14, and I think he's seeing dudes like Landry and Cooks about to cash out and get more than him. And then, obviously, Odell about to probably hit 20. I think Julio's like, I want 20. And Atlanta, and rightfully so, Atlanta's like, you're not up yet. It's not your time.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, he knows when his time is up. Yeah. He's not probably going to get that.
And then when his time is up, he's not going to get that. You're 100% correct.
Like restructure. I wouldn't give him an extension.
Starting to rack up too.
Yep. If I'm Julio, if I can get through six games this year, then next year I'd be like, extend me or I'm holding out.
Or just restructure. Give me the money. I'm
Or something like that. And then we'll see what the Falcons do about that. Jake, when it comes to rookies, you would take more. If you want to, you would rank. You got more projected higher than Ridley because you feel Moore would have more opportunities. Correct?
No, as of today, I actually have them neck and neck. I think this is okay. Terrific. This is so to go back to Michael Thomas when he was drafted by the Saints. I said you could not find a better landing spot, need, and basically talent combination for this, and that's why I was so high on Michael Thomas. And now everybody knows about Michael Thomas. DJ Moore is close to that in filling the need, his skill set, and the fit. However, it's still a Cam Newton offense. It's still Devin Funchess is there as the main red zone option. You still have Greg Olsen, despite being on the downside of his career. You still have Christian McCaffrey, which people don't realize. 114 or 115 targets last year?
Crazy.
Like, you just have to realize, as great as DJ Moore is, and there's a chance that DJ Moore could be the number one wide receiver for this team before the year's over. But at the same time, you have to factor all these things in, and I think that the numbers are going to be pretty similar to Calvin Ridley.
All right. What's
the Michael Gallup love? I mean, you got to assume the targets are there for him.
Who knows? I think everybody gonna get 80 targets apiece. That's really, I think it's the quarter. I think the quarterback friendly thing where you don't have no dominant guy to get the ball to. You just hit the open man. I don't think Gallup is ready, but Gallup does project to be a true X.
That's the thing. You want to draft and stash if your league is deep enough.
Dynasty.
Hold on to Gallup for the second. Or no, just Gallup in the second half of the season. Because as soon as if Allen Hurns gets hurt or if they finally stop trying to make Terrence Williams a thing and they finally Gallup is their best most talented wide receiver as of right now. He's raw though. He needs some development. So you give him that, and this is why I actually think it's not a bad thing. Like you draft Gallup if you know that you're gonna hold on to him. If anything, I'm letting somebody else draft him, drop him, and then go pick him up and get him for nothing.
Yeah.
The fact is Williams and Hurns will start the season, let Gallup develop a little bit, and then as halfway through the season, he takes over and now you're excited about him.
Or you can do like last year, like Corey Davis, sit him on your bench for 16 weeks, you know what I'm saying?
In a keeper league.
Plug and play, baby. Plug and play. Well, the only thing that scares me with Dallas is this wide receiver core and Prescott having a bounce back. If you're a defensive coordinator, aren't you just like stacking the box and everything to possibly do to shut down Elliott? Like, isn't the emphasis just on Elliott?
Look how long Adrian Peterson had the box stacked against him.
That's true. I just, I'm looking at the how bad Prescott played and how bad this receiver.
Oh, you're definitely right there. But there's somebody, I forget who it was at this point. So sorry for the person who deserves the credit. But the fact is, it might have been, it was either Clay or Scott Barrett or somebody like that. But for the, we always say stack in the box. And the big thing is Scott Engel on this network will always say that's a kind of a cliche term because people just assume the NFL is just going to do that. I'm not coming after you, Matt. I know that's not what you were saying. But a lot of people just think that, like, oh, they're always going to. The fact is, facing eight defenders in the box rarely happens in the NFL. And that's the point, is it's not just to stack the box and it's not just to put all the guys to sell out the run. Because if they did, if it was like playing Madden, you just put them in field goal formation on defense.
And the counter argument could be like Shady last year with the Bills. And, they had no wide receivers. They
this
still
year,
don't.
Too. I got Shady in the third round of a PPR.
But I think Shady, I think Shady's popped. I'm not touching Shady this year. I think he's washed.
Why? He's only 30 years old.
If I get him in the third as an RB2, I'm fine with that.
Here's the negative on Shady. I don't think it's his talent. That line really has – it's not the same line from last year. It's not, they lost our Richie Incognito. They made trades. So they got major holes there. Who knows who's quarterback in this team? I mean, this looks pretty ugly. There's no talent on the receiving core.
And they might go to the playoffs again.
No, they ain't winning six again. That six and a half, as a Bills fan, I'm taking the under.
All right, Jake. Is Anthony Miller going to get some run in Chicago, or is this all Allen Robinson and everybody else is just getting the scraps?
No, Anthony Miller is definitely somebody to keep an eye on. I actually, so Anthony Miller is right behind them. It's funny. So I have Calvin Ridley for 120 half point PPR, DJ Moore for 115, Christian Kirk for 112, and then Peaches and Cream, and then Anthony Miller for 111. So he's right there with them. And the fact is, he plays outside. They said here moving him into the slot to start. I don't see Gabriel succeeding outside. I think they're going to have to switch at some point, and it's going to be Miller outside and Gabriel in the slot. But if he's in the slot, as we've seen these days, that's often a lot easier for wide receivers to get production and get open. So I think Anthony Miller is something. It might take him a little while to get under, you know, to get used to the NFL. He's similar to Gallup. He's more advanced than Gallup, but he still has some areas to work on. The biggest thing is, is Trubisky going to be what we've been talking about and break out this year like Jared Goff? Or if he's going to have any issues, it might only be Allen Robinson and nobody else.
Now, what about this kid Kirk? Is he facing a suspension?
For what?
No.
He had that thing. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. You going
that
to Allen Robinson?
That makes a lot of sense for Des Bryant.
Where's he going? Third round?
He's on that 4-5 turn. I love him.
At that 4-5 turn, I do. Yeah,
I love him.
If you're
going to
look at like targets and you think Trubisky is going to make any kind of progression, you like the coaching staff. At that price, if it was third round, I'd probably say no. But if it's like that 4-5 turn,
yep,
yeah, then
I'm getting involved with that. I think they're going to have a pretty good amount of Allen Robinson.
What I'm hearing about these fourth round wide receivers. Like you said yesterday, it was Josh Gordon. Is Diggs in the fourth round, or am I wrong with that?
No, Diggs is in the third. You're not going. Diggs and Thielen going back to back. Every draft, Diggs go, Thielen go, Diggs go.
Okay.
I don't know which one I want. I think I want Shiz to go for them this year, though.
Look at who the wide receivers are in that fourth round, third round thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I would change up. Like I said, I'm still going to take one of these top three backs early if I'm going there.
All right.
But I'm not going to pull. I'm not just going to take a back to take a back.
Jake, what's up with Darius Geis? She is so fine. What's up with Darius Geis, Jake? Don't cut off YouTube yet. Hold on. Stand by on Darius Geis, Jake. Hey, YouTubers, the frenzy is coming back. I'm soon. I was upstairs with the suits earlier, and I do know the frenzy is coming back. Not sure how soon, not sure what day, but the frenzy is coming back. So stand by for that. They're going to put the team back together again. We're going to win some championships. So I got you covered on that.
You had your suit on today.
The frenzy is coming back. Now, like I said, I was upstairs with the suits. Don't know exactly when, but the frenzy will be back. So everybody on the YouTube chat, they got to take us off now so they can set up for the BFFs. You know how that goes. I'm dealing with the BFFs for a while now. With that being said, holla at y'all, and the frenzy will be back. All right, so now, Jake, Darius Geis, they got P. Ryan in the backfield, too. Let's not forget about that. They just drafted a rookie running back last year. Do you think Geis is talent enough to be a lead dog, or is it going to be a timeshare? Well, obviously, we got our man, Chris Thompson. But when it comes to P. Ryan and Geis.
You can go ahead and forget about P. Ryan.
All right.
Darius Geis is the this year's Leonard Fournette. There's so many similarities between the two of them, including injuries being a concern. Also, the fact that LSU doesn't run an offense since 1999 where they know that they can pass to the running back. He's a decent pass catcher, just like Fournette, and people don't realize that. He will lead this backfield. And for everybody talking about, well, you worried about Chris Thompson, sure. Jordan Howard was still an RB1. You go back to the days of Alfred Morris, finished inside the top five and top seven back-to-back years, despite never catching anything. So he doesn't. Yes, it is a day and age where probably Alfred Morris those years today probably finishes more like RB8 and 9, but still RB1. Now, I'm not saying Geis is going to finish as an RB1. I actually have Geis as RB23, but that even might be underselling him a little bit. The fact is he's a legitimate RB2 with potential to flirt with that fringe RB1 value.
I didn't fool with P. Ryan last year. I'm fooling with Geis this year. I like the talent. And when you get out of LSU, you see like a regular offensive player. Do you feel what I'm saying? Not the Veer.
it's not the caveman offense?
No, it's not the Veer. It's not the sweep, jet sweep.
Sweep right. Okay,
yes,
sweep left.
Sweep right, sweep left. Speaking of I was talking with the homie Joe Lisi, and he likes, you know who he likes to make it, and I think it would be a good bet if you could put something down on making it into the college football playoff? Texas.
I've seen some really good, there was an article about Texas. They said something about Texas was like the betters. I did see it was on Twitter. I forget which site had it, but that's like the hottest thing. It was last week, and they released the win totals.
Yeah.
I actually saved that, so I gotta go check those win totals out.
So I was like what Lisi was saying, he likes Texas this year to have a better season than people think, and he says he don't be surprised if Texas is in the about to say the Final Four, the college football playoff, Jake.
That would surprise me a little bit.
Yep,
that's interesting, but that surprises me a little bit.
Yeah.
The fact that they'd be in there, but would surprise me as well. But
I mean, because you kind of figure. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's probably Alabama, Clemson, Who else? I just skipped my mind just that fast. The team is always there.
Well, how's
Georgia? Yeah, Alabama. I don't trust Georgia's quarterback, but Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and then who's that other team? That's what it looks like.
I mean, it would be a big coup for Texas to come right.
It would be.
They've had some lean.
They've had some down years out there in Austin, so it'd be cool to see the Texas back in the mix. Ohio State would be in the mix. A lot of people's on Florida State. Florida State's going. Florida State's about to get the quarterback and they'll be back. I think Florida State's going to suck
again. Who are the three that you said again?
Clemson,
Alabama, Clemson,
Georgia, and then you got whoever that last team is.
Oh, you said Georgia. See, I would say Ohio State.
You say Ohio State over Georgia?
Yeah.
I can't.
It's close.
Yeah. I don't like Georgia's quarterback. I don't. I like teams with a good quarterback. Alabama, if they let Tua play.
That was pretty crazy when that kid came in.
Just cut Hurst.
It was like, where was his kid?
I'll give you one to. You want to talk about not liking the quarterback? I'll give you one, and this has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a fan. It's just the truth. Is if you look at Notre Dame and what they're bringing back on defense, they might have Alabama caliber defense next year.
Ooh.
For what they're bringing back and what they've had. And you look at the offense, the only thing they're lacking is some consistent quarterback play. That's their biggest issue. If they get any decent quarterback play this year, they'll be in the mix this season.
All right, there you go.
I hated Notre Dame. I was really big in the 80s when Holtz was coaching.
Yeah.
But when Holtz was coaching that team, they were the funnest team to watch. It was always he would beat Bowden and beat all these other teams.
I despise Notre Dame.
I do want to go see a game there.
Now, that I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind touchdown Jesus, the whole thing. I wouldn't mind seeing the game. My sister and my brother-in-law, before they got married, they drove from Oakland to Queens, and they went past the joint. They drove past the touchdown Jesus. They couldn't get on the campus, obviously, but they drove past it. They took pictures. I was like, oh, this is crazy.
Did they get to meet Rudy?
I don't know if Rudy was out there. Rudy was out there. Rudy was directing traffic. Rudy was the cop. I was like, get out of here. I'm like, that's Rudy. What is Rudy doing here? Hey, let me tell you something. Rudy never made the NFL. I got my homeboy Hatch always be talking about how good of a basketball player he was. I was like, you're Rudy. You feel what I'm saying? Unless you are playing for pro sports, you're Rudy. I don't want to hear it. I want to thank everybody for rocking with us today, having a good time doing this. We're going to do it again tomorrow.
So, hold up. You're telling me Craig Carton's Rudy? Are you going to call him that tomorrow?
That's a good one, Jake. I will call him Rudy tomorrow, the Fan Control Football League. He is going to be he's going out to be a quarterback in the Fan Control Football League. It's going to be interesting. I hope he don't hurt himself. In the Fan Control Football. Well, Jake, that's the plan. I thought it was a fantasy thing. The Fan Control Football League. No, this is real life. These are real people playing in the fan.
It's like
an 8-team league. It's gonna be. I think the league starts after the Super Bowl next year. So there you go. The Fan Control Football League. I'm reading this thing wrong the whole time. The whole time I thought it was something that you did on the internet or something. But no. And Craig Carton's gonna be one of the quarterbacks. All right, that's going to be interesting. All right, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Same team, same time. And then, like I said, we got the Frenzy coming back later on this summer to get you ready for Fantasy Football 2018 for the All-In Kid. For Wall Street, Matt Medica. Shout out to everybody on the fourth floor. The BFFs is up next.